Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah 36. And I do realize that it is raining, but that does not give anyone the right to take a nap during my sermon. Jeremiah 36. That's at least that's what Dee told me he was going to do this morning. Very good to see everyone, especially our visitors with us. Thankful for your presence. We pray that our singing and our prayers and the partaking of the Lord's Supper has been an encouragement to you, as well as this morning's lesson. Occasionally, as I sometimes have some weird titles, people will ask me about my titles, but no one has yet to do that this morning, so I'm sure that many of you are probably thinking about what in the world is he going to preach this morning. But in Jeremiah 36, we read about an audience that is going to be receiving some strong words. We read about a nation that was evil, a nation that was wicked and an idolatrous people. These people were so wicked that they even sacrificed their children to idols. In fact, Jeremiah the prophet said in the beginning, closer to the beginning of his book here, that they were so wicked that they taught the wicked people how to be wicked. You name the sin, and these people were committing it. And so God sent the prophet Jeremiah, as he did all his prophets, to be a mouthpiece for him, to speak on his behalf, to teach these people that they needed to return to him, that they needed to repent of their ways, and that they needed to do what was right in his sight, or else judgment would come upon them. Well, we find that the people would not accept Jeremiah's message. And one of the reasons why that was is because their hearts were hardened or deceived by sin. Their lives, they would not allow themselves, because of their wicked lives, they would not allow themselves to receive God's word, to be obedient to it, to pay attention to it, and to heed the words that the prophet was speaking. One of the reasons why this was is because the people were influenced by an evil king. And in Jeremiah 36, we read about the king Jehoiakim, and we find that from other passages that he was 25 years old when he became king. He ruled for 11 years, and the Bible tells us that he did evil in the sight of God. He was a man who oppressed the poor. He exploited the poor. He was violent. He shed innocent blood. He was loyal to other nations, so at times, if it benefited his kingdom, he would be loyal to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Other times, he would be loyal to the king of Babylon. And everything he did was just plain evil. That's the kind of mindset, the kind of character that Jehoiakim had. And so we read in Jeremiah 36, where God is, in his mercy, is giving his last warnings, if you will, to this king. And that there is judgment coming, and that this king is not only going to be dethroned, but also his descendants, and also the land is going to be destroyed, the nation is going to be destroyed, and God wants this king to listen to the words. And so we read in Jeremiah 36, and in verse 1, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote on a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord that he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah ordered Barak, saying, I am banned from going to the house of the Lord. You see how evil this king is. He even bans God's prophets from going to the house of the Lord. I am banned from going to the house of the Lord, so you are to go. And on a day of fasting, in the hearing of all the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord from the scroll that you have written at my dictation. You shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of their cities. It may be that their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and that everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and wrath the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Barak the son of Neriah did all that Jeremiah the prophet ordered him about reading from the scroll the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Verse 9. In the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. Then in the hearing of all the people, Barak read the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of the Lord. Let's stop there. So what happens is God comes to Jeremiah, says, I need you to write these words down on a scroll and read them to the king, to his officials, to all the people of this nation, so that they may hear and they may turn from their evil ways and they may receive forgiveness from my hand. What's interesting as we read through this is we see the purpose of Scripture. We see why God writes to us the things that He does. And when we understand who Jeremiah is and how he is speaking on the behalf of God, then we can understand that his message was to do exactly what God's message to us, the New Testament, is. To turn us from our evil ways, to cause us to come to Him and to live righteously. And so I want to start off by saying that God's word here in Jeremiah 36 was sent forth to expose their ungodliness. That's what the message of the scroll was going to be, is that you are an ungodly nation. Here are the things that you have been doing. And Jeremiah, I do want to say, Jeremiah had already orally told them these things. There were many things, as you read through Jeremiah, the first 35 chapters, many things that he said to this king and to the nation about how they needed to return to him, to put away their gods, to put away their idols, to put away their wicked living, and the way that they treated people, mistreated people, and their unfairness and their unkindness and so on. And so he wanted to expose their ungodliness, and in so doing also to produce godly sorrow, the kind of sorrow that mourns for sins, the kind of sorrow that says, I have done something that is contrary to God's law, and I am sorry. I have that guilt before God. I understand that I have hurt Him. I understand that I have caused that separation between me and my God because of the things that I have done. And not only that, his message was to demand godly living. So turn from your evil ways and live with the understanding that you will be practicing righteousness. This is the message that Jeremiah was preaching to these people. And what's very interesting is if you go back to Jeremiah 30 or 25, chapter 25, you see that he was preaching for about 23 years. And up to this point, he has had no response, hardly no response. And it's interesting that God had told Jeremiah that I'm going to send you to a people. You are going to proclaim this word, and yet they are not going to listen. And so God is sending these prophets to a people who have closed their ears, who have decided to close their eyes to the truth and to listening to what God has to say. And what we find is that these things were supposed to be written on this scroll. It was supposed to be read to all the people. And that way it would be on record that this is what God is going to do. Now, if you look to Jeremiah 36, verse 1, it says in the fourth year that this word came to Jeremiah. Then, if you skip down to verse 9, it says in the fifth year is when the actual scroll was read. So there's an upwards of a whole year that passes from the time that Jeremiah is told to write the scroll, which Jeremiah though goes and gets a person to write it at his dictation. It is an upward of a year before the people even hear the words of the scroll. I mean, take into account, they did not have computers or typewriters. This was a long, drawn-out process to write out the words of God. And there were many words. This was not, obviously, the Bible here, the way it is written, it skips over the words of the actual scroll. But this was not one or two paragraphs. These were many words that the king needed to hear, that the nation needed to hear. And it took upwards of 1 year to write out this scroll. I want us to understand that this was not an easy process. But on the other side of that, that also shows God's long-suffering and it shows God's mercy, because God is still taking the time through men to proclaim this message to other men that they need to do what is right. Now, the people hear the words of the scroll, and many of them they're afraid. Some, they're unresponsive. There is nothing to them. But what we find is that some of them begin to worry, and they go and they tell the king about this scroll. So skip down with me to verse 21. Verse 21. And in verse 21 and following, we read about this king's reaction to the reading of these words. In verse 21, it says, "And the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments." And so what you have is you have a king who decides not to pay attention to God's word. Now, I want us to see the irony of this situation. And I would encourage you to read all of 36 as you have time this afternoon or sometime this week to really understand the context. But there's a lot of irony going on here, because here is a message. And as you read through Jeremiah, this message is the same message. And that is, I want you to return to me, or there is going to be wrath. There is going to be fire that is not quenched. It is going to be destruction. And so here is Jehoiakim hearing these words. And I want us to understand that he did not refuse to listen. It was not the case that he says, I don't want to hear the words of God. Instead, he does listen. But if you'll notice, as we read through it, he listens for the sole purpose. He listens so that he can destroy God's word, destroy these fiery and, as we're going to see, indestructible words. He tries to destroy them as if I take a penknife and I cut this scroll up and I put it in the fire and burn this scroll up, as if the message is not going to come true. As if God's words are they're negated, or they're just canceled out because I am cutting up this message and throwing it out. But what we find ultimately, that he does it to his own destruction. Because notice verse 27. He says, "Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, 'Take another scroll and write on it the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned.'" So here's God. He tells Jeremiah in the very beginning of chapter 36, "I want you to go and I want write out a scroll with all these words of judgment that is coming." They take upwards of a year to write the scroll out. Then he takes it to the king, and the king, in front of all of his officials, in front of all of his servants, what does he do? He takes a penknife, he cuts it, he puts the columns of the scroll into the fire, watches it burn up. And then God says to Jeremiah, "I want you to write another scroll. I want you to do this again." And what we're seeing is God's words cannot be stopped. They are indestructible. Because you can sit here and you can burn a scroll, or you can do as some other nations in today's modern society, in China where they burn Bibles, or ISIS over in those territories where they burn Bibles, and yet God's word is still going forth. And so he says, "I want you to take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? And so he questions God's word. He says, why is this written? As if this is really going to happen to me? See the arrogance that he has? See how his heart is hardened? He's so evil that he can't even pay attention to these words. Instead, he questions them and he's not afraid. And you'll remember from the text where he says he was not afraid, nor did he tear his garments. That's important. Pay attention to that because we're going to see something else in a moment here. But he asks this question, and so in verse 30, therefore thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night, and I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, but they would not hear. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. You see the irony? He says, I'm not going to accept these words. I am fully and publicly rejecting these words. I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to throw them in the fire. I'm watching them burn up. I'm going to enjoy that moment. And yet, here comes another scroll. And what that scroll says is, you did that to your own destruction now. You did that to your own destruction. And what's interesting about this account is there's a similar incident. If you'll turn with me to 2 Kings, keep your finger there in Jeremiah 36. But in 2 Kings, we read about another king, King Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. And I want us to notice verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Akim the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Do you see that? Here is a situation of a king. King Josiah, you may remember him. He started reigning when he was 8 years old. At this point, as you look to the context, 18 years has passed. And they are going through the temple there, and they find the book of the law of Moses. They find this. And they say, hey, we need to take this to the king. So they take it to the king, and they say, king, we found a book. And they begin to read the law to King Josiah. And when he hears the words of the law, what does he do? It says he tore his clothes, verse 11. Isn't that interesting? We just read about King Jehoiakim and how he heard the words of the scroll. And what did he do? The text tells us he was not afraid, nor did he tear his garments. You see the different reaction to God's word, the different response to God's word. Here's a man who hears it, not bothered by it at all. But here's another man who hears it, and he sees that he has not been obedient, that his fathers have not been obedient, and that there's destruction and judgment that is coming upon the nation. And he says, we've got to do something about this. And look at verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 22. God said to him, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolate and a curse, desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. You see that? King Josiah was heard by God. God responded to this king and forgave him, and to forgave those who this king influenced. But you know what's really interesting about this? Turn back to Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah 36, and look at verse 1. Jeremiah 36, and in verse 1. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. This king Josiah, who heard the words of the law, and he ripped his clothes, and he began to weep, and he began to say, we need to be obedient to God, was the father of the king who heard the words of this fiery destruction that is coming, and he says, bring me a knife. I've got some cutting I need to do. Let me take these straps of this scroll and just throw them in the fire and watch them burn before my eyes. Isn't that powerful? To see those two different reactions between a father and a son in the Word of God? So I want to ask you, do we ever burn our Bibles? You see, we can have the spirit of Jehoiakim. You may say, well, I'm disgusted by his behavior. I mean, how can he be so callous with the Word of God? How can he just, without shame, just cut up these words and throw them in the fire? I want to submit to you that there are times we do that as well. You see, when we ignore God's word, as this king did, just ignoring what judgment was coming, the promises that God gave of his wrath, just ignoring that. When we disagree with God's word, that's what this king was doing, disagreeing with that which was written down in the scroll. When we become angry with those who speak the truth, you have to understand this about this king. Prior to chapter 36, he's already killed one of God's prophets. So this Jeremiah is not the first prophet to come to this king. And in the text that you will read this afternoon, as you have time, or this week sometime, as you read through the text, you find that they have to go and hide Jeremiah and Barak. They tell him, go and hide, because the king is not going to be happy about this. And so God spares the life of Jeremiah. It would have been at least his second prophet to kill. And so what does he do? He becomes angry with the truth speaker. When we are no longer bothered by God's warnings, when we are no longer bothered, our conscience is no longer pricked, we can watch things, say things, do things, and it just, we don't blush. We're not ashamed. When we refuse to obey difficult commandments, we say, well, that's difficult. So, you know, there's got to be an exception to my situation, because that's just, that's a burden right there to obey that command, God. When we justify our wicked lifestyle and we come up with all kinds of excuses so that we can continue in the sin and refuse to repent of sin, when we change God's word to fit our lifestyle, when we change God's word to fit our lifestyle, however that may be. I know a lot of people who want to change God's words, tweak it a little bit, twist it over here, kind of eliminate this verse over there so they can continue with the evil lifestyle that they have. When we add to or take from God's word, and when we follow man's traditions rather than God's commandments. You know, it's so often when it comes to changing God's word or adding to or taking from or following man's traditions, what we're doing is we're cherry-picking the Bible, so to speak. Where we occasionally will have this preconceived idea or belief, or we'll want to justify ourselves. So what we'll do is we'll go to a text or context, we'll pull a verse out of that context, kind of divorce it from the context, and then use that to justify our preconceived opinions, and therefore we are cherry picking. We're, you know, choosing different verses that help us out in our beliefs and in our lifestyle. But when we do all of these things, I want to suggest to you that we cut and burn. That's what we do. We cut and burn. We may not take our literal Bibles, and we may not take a real knife, and we may not cut it out, which is true. I heard of a woman one time, a preacher was discussing baptism with her, and he said, "Well, ma'am, if you'll just turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you'll see that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins." And she said, "Well, that's not in my Bible." And he said, "Yes, it is. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That's not in my Bible." And she began to raise her voice at him. "That's not in my Bible." And he said, "Ma'am, it is." And so he took the Bible from her and he turned to Acts chapter 2:38. And she had taken a knife and cut out that verse that said, "Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins." People do that literally today. But figuratively, we, even as children of God, cut and burn our Bibles when we ignore and do not accept the warnings of God. When we know we are in sin, when we know what we're practicing and what we're doing and what's filling our hearts, and yet there's God's Word saying, "Don't do that. Stay away from that. Avoid that. Coming destruction is, or judgment is coming on those who do this. You will not enjoy eternity with me if you continue with this lifestyle." And yet what we're doing is we're cutting and we're burning the Word of God. We're just like this king. We have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with the Word of God? You see, I would submit to you that we have the spirit of Jehoiakim when we tear our Bibles, but we have the spirit of Josiah, his father, when we tear our hearts. When we tear our hearts. In Joel chapter 2, the prophet Joel said to the people, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is a gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster." God tells us, He warns us of disaster coming in our lives and spiritually speaking. But if we will tear our hearts, if we will come to Him with hearts that are broken, hearts that are humbled, hearts that want to be obedient to Him in all things, then we will hear the words that He told to Josiah in verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 22 about, "I hear you. You've mourned. You've repented. You have listened to my words." And God says that to us, especially on the day of judgment when He tells us to enter in that faithful servant of His. So what will you do with God's Word? Will you cut and burn? You know, every time we hear the plan of salvation given at every service and we choose to disobey that invitation of our Lord, we're cutting and burning. And our hearts are becoming more and more hardened because we hear that message and we say, "I'm not going to respond to it today. I'll wait. Let me wait. Maybe next week I'll respond to it." Cut and burn. That's what you're doing. Every time as saints, every time that we hear that we need to repent of our sins and go to our Heavenly Father and confess our faults to Him in prayer, 1 John 1:9, and that we need to make sure that we're being obedient to Him, because John says, if you say I know Him and yet you're walking disorderly, you lie and you do not practice the truth. So every time we hear that and we choose to continue willfully in our sin, as the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 said, cut and burn. That's what we're doing. Cutting and we're burning. What will you do with God's Word this morning? If you're not a Christian, we would invite you to be obedient to Jesus, believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, that He is the Son of God, and He is the Son of the true and living God, I might add, and be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you are a child of God that has been stumbling, perhaps you've gone past that and you are practicing sin in your life, change your ways before it's eternally too late. As God said to this king, return to me. Return to me. Do away with your evil ways. Turn to me, and I will forgive you. As together we stand and sing.